Spencertown Academy Arts Center presents its 14th annual Hidden Gardens Breakfast Lecture, Where Have All the Monarchs Gone and What Can We Do About It? It's by Marilyn Manos Jones on Saturday, June 2nd at 10:30. Environmental activist and master gardener Marilyn Manos Jones is known as the Butterfly Woman, as she has been raising, tagging, and releasing butterflies for over 40 years. She is the author of The Spirit of Butterflies, Myth, Magic, and Art. Marilyn Manos Jones joins us now, along with Spencertown Academy Art Center board member and co-chair of Hidden Gardens, Madeline Sparks, and it's a great pleasure to welcome you both to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being here. What a delight to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Couldn't be anywhere else.
Madeline, let us begin with you about how all of this came about and the importance of having an event like this.
The Spencertown Academy Arts Center, which was a school from 1847 to 1971, is now an arts center. And it's a fabulous 1847 Greek Revival building that houses an auditorium and galleries. And one of our big fundraising events of the year is the Hidden Garden event. And even though that's taking us outside of the arts center, we call it Artful Landscapes because garden design is an artistic endeavor, and gardens are basically you're painting with plants and landscape and everything. So we've been doing this for 14 years, I think 14 years, and we've gotten pretty good at finding gardens. Our gardens this year are in the hamlets near Spencertown, one in Spencertown and the hamlets of New Concord and Red Rock, all of which are Spencertown, Red Rock, and New Concord are all very near Chatham, because a lot of people don't know where Spencertown is. So they're like, Spencertown, where's that? And so Chatham, New York is a little bit more identifiable to people. So we're very close to that. And the gardens are all not too far away from Spencertown.
We Google everything and we have our GPS, but sometimes just take out a map. Look at a good old-fashioned right. map, and you can learn a lot. Just one on one page and find out where all these places are.
Yes, and we make a special map for the tour, so when people come to get their tickets on that day of the tour, they get a map to getting to all the gardens. It's a self-guided tour, so you can go to any of the gardens that you would like in any order and take as much time as you want to enjoy them.
Marilyn, tell me how one becomes a butterfly woman.
I became a butterfly woman in what I call a cosmic accident. I lived on Cape Cod. I was walking in the woods in Wellfleet, Massachusetts, looking for herbs and berries, and tripped over something, gracefully falling on one knee instead of flat on my face. And there, about 2 inches in front of my face, was this big, beautiful, striped caterpillar waving its antenna, which are really called firmaments. I thought it was saying hello. Actually, I found out it was trying to scare me away. That didn't work. So I took the caterpillar and the plant on which it was feeding home with me. And this is what I call in the days of the dinosaur, because there was no internet. One went to libraries.
Sure.
And I went to the library and found out my beautiful caterpillar was going to be a monarch butterfly. This is 1972, when I was a wee little thing. And I read about monarchs. At that time, scientists knew they migrated to Mexico, but had no idea where in Mexico they went. And I also found out that caterpillars have voracious appetites. So I brought home milkweed. It's the only plant on which monarchs will lay their eggs. It supports their caterpillars. Mm-hmm. It took millions of years to develop this relationship, as each butterfly, all 17,500 different kinds of butterflies, each has a different and particular host plant. So for the monarch, it is milkweed. The caterpillar multiplied its weight 2,700 times. So if we ate as much food as that caterpillar ate milkweed, we would be as huge as elephants. And unknowingly, because I was just an artist, a modern dancer, I had a gallery, and I didn't realize that the monarchs lay their eggs on the underneath part of the leaves. So bringing home food for my first caterpillar, in a few weeks I had hundreds of little teeny caterpillars. And that summer of 72, my house was filled with monarchs. And the first one emerged a Labor Day weekend, actually. There was a hurricane outside. I was not about to let my newly emerged monarch out into a hurricane, so I made a mixture of that time, honey and water. I stayed up without sleep. I didn't know how long it takes to go from caterpillar once they hang upside down. I thought, oh, she's about to become, go into her chrysalis. It took 24 hours, no sleep. And she stayed in her chrysalis for 2 weeks. And I don't know if you've ever seen the process of metamorphosis.
I've seen the sort of sped up video of that.
It's an amazing process. And from a striped caterpillar, a few inches long, she became a 1-inch chrysalis. From a 1-inch chrysalis, which is jade green with gold dots, 2 weeks later she turned translucent. The gold disappeared, the green disappeared. You could see the butterfly all folded up on the inside. She's about to emerge. Well, 24 hours later, the butterfly emerged. There was a hurricane outside. She came to my hand and supped sugar water, honey water. And for the next 2 days, we hung out. Nonverbal communication. She loved my hair, sat on my heart, on my third eye. And finally, when the storm was over, I brought her to the beach and let her go. She came back to land on me a couple of times as if in thank you. And I yearned to go with her, which I did. 5 years and many thousands of butterflies later, because I then, feeding my first 100 caterpillars, I kept bringing home more.
When you let the butterfly go, how long would that butterfly have lived?
The butterflies that migrate in September down to Mexico fly about 2,500 miles and live for about 10 months. They fly all the way to Mexico, to very special mountains in the states of Michoacán and Mexico. At that time, hundreds and hundreds of millions of them would migrate to these sacred mountains.
So do you have butterflies at any given time? Do you just have butterflies flying around the house? Or
during the summer. Now,
yeah, okay. So it's not quite butterfly season yet in your household.
No, not quite, but I have seen the eastern tiger swallowtails and the little cabbage whites so far.
What does that mean? When you say you've seen them...
Now I live in Shokan, New York.
Okay.
And I have 3 acres of gardens dedicated to butterflies and all pollinators.
So these are outside then?
Yes. And then when I find monarch caterpillars, I planted hundreds of a few different types of milkweed that are native to the area. I actually put them in a big net cage to protect them from predators, wasps. One time I had black swallowtails on dill. Black swallowtail caterpillars, quite exquisite, beautiful caterpillar. So I was so excited, but I didn't put them under a net enclosure. And in a few days, all 7 were gone, and I saw a big red wasp hanging out there. So I felt very bad that I didn't protect. We can help.
Now, I would think that the attraction, right, so the butterfly will often go into the garden, and they're hanging out in the garden, and that's what the wasp is doing too, correct?
Yes.
So what do they get out of attacking the monarch?
Well, wasps don't attack the monarch because the monarch...
Or the other butterflies.
Right. Well, they get a good meal. They get good protein.
Okay. Oh, so they chow down on them.
Yeah.
All right. I'm
sorry.
No, so let me ask you this question, because I could just talk to you about butterflies all day, but I want to get to other stuff. So the purpose of the lecture is where have all the monarchs gone and what can we do about it? So in a quick little nutshell or chrysalis, if you want, what has happened to the butterfly and what can we do about it?
All butterflies and bees and all pollinators are in peril. The reasons are many. I will start the challenges in Mexico, deforestation. And I worked for 15 years and helped plant over 6 million trees in and around the monarch sanctuaries in Mexico. As an aside, I went after raising thousands of butterflies. I followed them in 1977, spent 2 months climbing mountains until I found about 100 million monarchs mating on the first day of spring in 1977. I've gone back every year.
They're all mating at the same time?
Yes, yes.
And okay, all right.
An exquisite pas de deux.
Should you have been there? Should you have been watching that? Is that okay? Is that appropriate?
I think that they didn't mind because they were landing on me as well as the flowers to drink their little nectar champagne rest for a moment before.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days? Okay. Nectar champagne. All right, go ahead.
So the challenge is deforestation in Mexico and climate change. Climate change. Now, I have been going back all these years, over 40 years, almost every year,
yes,
back to Mexico. And as I said, when I first found them, it was the 21st of March. They were mating. I've been there in mid-April. They're still there and just heading north. Now, let's fast forward all these years. They leave and start their northward journey 1 month earlier. So they are mating in February and leaving by the middle of March instead of the middle of April.
Why wait for tomorrow what you can do today, right?
Especially since it's warmer,
sure,
and beckoning. However, not all the flowers are up in time. Timing is everything,
yeah,
for all species, including us. On this end, the monarchs would start heading south in September and October, all through September into the beginning of October. 5 years ago, I found a butterfly that was just emerging, actually just going into its chrysalis at the end of October. Very, very late for an important date. I have gardens that start early in the spring and go late into the fall, and I knew there was not enough flowers for them.
Yeah.
So actually, Southwest Airlines stepped in, helped me out, and flew me and my butterfly down to San Antonio, Texas, so she'd continue her migration.
I'm sorry, I have to stop you there. So what kind of ticket do you get for a butterfly? Is that...
Actually, I had to get a permit from the Department of Agriculture take a butterfly interstate. And when I called the head entomologist, after Southwest Airlines was so kind, said they would fly my butterfly south only if I went with her. So I said, oh, well, of course, I guess I can. And so when I called the head entomologist, Wayne Whaling, we had a long conversation. He knew who I was. Oh, you know who I am? Yes, he had my book, The Spirit of Butterflies, Myth, Magic, and Art. And it took 3 months to get a permit. And I said, oh, 3 months to get a permit? I'll be legal, and the butterfly will be dead. So he was my hero, my knight in shining armor, and he got us the permit in 3 days. And we flew down on November 5th, election day 2012, when Hope was in the air. And that's what I named her, Hope. Fast forward, 2 years ago, I found 60, or there were 60 late monarchs. So the monarchs are lingering and hanging out later because it's warmer. And they can be in deep trouble because the flowers are less and butterflies can't fly if it's under 55 degrees. So it starts to get under 55 degrees in October. So there's climate change. All right, next on the list, there are many challenges.
Madeline, I swear to God, I'll let you talk. Go ahead.
Sorry, Madeline, but I have so much to share.
I know.
Don't give it all away.
You gotta come and hear your lecture.
Oh, no.
I have breakfast, for goodness sakes. It's going to be lunch by the time you're done. Go ahead.
Actually, I could really talk for 3 days straight, but I won't do that to you.
Well, I got a plane to catch. Go ahead.
Yes.
WAMC, the Butterfly Network.
Yeah.
The challenge is here. In addition to climate change, pesticide, herbicide, genetically modified organisms, in the center of this country, in Iowa, for instance, has lost 98% of its milkweed. Why? Because planting corn and soybeans and then dousing them with Roundup glyphosate kills everything except the GMO plant. So farms no longer have hedgerows around. There, you can't see a bee, a butterfly, or a bird in the center of this country practically because we've destroyed all wildflowers, all weeds. That's a major problem. Another problem is the pesticides, the herbicides have to get stronger because weeds get immune to it after a while. There's an herbicide called a neonicotinoid, where they treat the seed with the neonicotinoid, and the poison goes into every cell of the plant, leaf, flower, petal. So when a bee or a butterfly nectars on this plant, it slowly accumulates the poison. And if you offer a bee a plant not treated with the neonics, the neonicotinoids, which is in the nicotine family, or one that's treated, they will go to the treated plant because they become addicted, like we humans become addicted to nicotine, and it does them in. And I'm hoping all the big box stores where you can buy beautiful plants with not one nibble out of the leaf will stop using neonicotinoids on all their plants. They pledged to do so, but I haven't checked. They pledged to do so by 2018, 2019, 2020. In the meantime, we're losing our bees at 40% a year. Unsustainable.
Okay, and real quick, because we have to go, but what can we do about it? In a word, what can we do about it?
Each garden, we can save our planet one garden at a time. Individually, plant gardens for your local pollinators with native species. Individually, in our communities, plant gardens in front of your town hall, in front of your library. I got the DEP to stop spraying glyphosate around all the reservoirs, and so work with your community. Have your town mow later. Mow in October because a lot of milkweed grows along our roadsides. Mm. I'm trying to get the Department of Transportation in on this so that people can adopt a highway, not just for litter removal, but adopt a highway to make it a pollinator pathway. We have 4 million miles of roads in the U.S., and they're connecting. They could connect all the dots. President Obama, with his had a commission to study what could be done and put $5 million into planting milkweed on Route 35 in the middle of this country on the Monarchs.
How's that going now?
well, actually, even Monsanto, the makers of glyphosate, supposedly this June, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is supposed to make a determination if the monarch will be on the endangered species list. The farmers and the Monsantos of the world are freaking out. I don't know. So they're trying to initiate planting millions of monarchs because if the monarch is put on the endangered species list, it absolutely implicates all the poisons we are using. So stop using poisons. Plant native species will attract native fauna. Yeah. If you put the work with your neighbors. Stop mowing the roadways until October so we don't kill tens of thousands of monarch caterpillars.
Well, that's a good start. Yeah.
That's a good start.
Everything at home okay otherwise? Everything's all right?
Well, actually, I'm quite worried about the monarchs whose population has been declining. When I first discovered them in 1977, and I was the only person allowed to live with them among them in 78 and 79.
And who made that designation?
Don Jesus Avila Montes de Oca, the political patriarch of the whole mountain area.
Oh, okay.
Whom I begged and talked up.
All right.
I can talk.
Really?
From my heart. From my heart.
I have a one-woman show, for God's sakes.
So when I first lived among the butterflies for a few weeks at a time, and I got to tag them for the Insect Migration Association to help study their northward migration, there, as I said, 100 million, the population would fluctuate slightly over 50 or 60 acres. Last year, when I was back, there were about 3 million monarchs on an acre on that same mountain. That's pretty devastating.
Yeah.
So I think we all have a part to play in saving our environment, and I'm deeply concerned.
Well, Marilyn Manos-Jones is going to be speaking, giving a breakfast lecture. It's the 14th Annual Hidden Gardens Breakfast Lecture, Where Have All the Monarchs Gone and What Can We Do About It? It's Saturday, June 2nd at 10:30. This is all going to happen at the Spencertown Academy Arts Center. And Madeline, this is just one of many things that will be going on.
Yes. I want to point out that in the past, we've always had the lecture on the same day as our Hidden Garden Tour.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that we're doing it 2 weeks ahead. So the lecture is June 2nd and the tour is June 16th. Also, on the same day as the tour, we have a fabulous garden market on the green in Spencertown across from the Academy. And there will be more than 20 vendors. Of course, food trucks, you know, that kind of thing.
All that stuff.
And lots of cool garden stuff, plants and things for the garden, garden themed things. And so it's really fun. And we've been blessed with beautiful weather for years and years. So that's going to happen again. I'm positive. And then you can buy your tickets there for the tour if you haven't bought them in advance. We have a beautiful cocktail party the evening before to kick the whole thing off. It's at a historic home in Spencertown. And it's outside, and it's a light supper and hors d'oeuvres and cocktails. It's really fun, and you get to meet lots of neighbors and people and enjoy the beginning of summer.
Well, it's a wonderful way to enjoy the beginning of summer, and you can find out about all of this by simply going to SpencertownAcademy.org. SpencertownAcademy.org. Again, the Academy Arts Center is presenting its 14th annual Hidden Gardens Breakfast Lecture, Where Have All the Monarchs Gone and What Can We Do About It? By Marilyn Manos-Jones, better known as the Butterfly Woman. And Marilyn, it's great to speak with you. Thank you very much for sharing your passion and enthusiasm with our listeners this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate being on here. And may I say, I also have little garden tours of butterfly garden tours of my gardens. Please check out my website, spiritofbutterflies.com. And you can see my adventure with that monarch on Southwest Airlines.
Oh, we've got a slideshow. That's great. Excellent.
And
sure, go ahead.
I've just completed a book, Adventures of a Butterfly Warrior, because I feel like a warrior trying to save the butterflies. And we must try our utmost to save our beautiful planet. It's the only planet we have.
It's the 14th Annual Hidden Gardens Breakfast Lecture, Where Have All the Monarchs Gone? Marilyn Manos-Jones, thank you. And Madeline Sparks, thanks for all the great work you do as well.
Thank you for so much for having us, and we really appreciate being here.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, SpencertownAcademy.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.